Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. If Brother Joe is on live stream, this is his favorite verse in the Bible. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. That's our memory verse for next week. And most of you should be able to memorize that. It's not too long. So might be working on it during the message if you get bored. But Mark 11, we have this great verse in the Bible. A simple one. Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God. Now, as we think of this context of this response of the Lord to the disciples, earlier in the chapter, in fact, the day before, they had gone to buy a fig tree. And the Bible tells us in verse 13, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not. And Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. The Bible tells us, next morning, verse 20, in the morning as they passed by, they saw that fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now, it's quite amazing to the disciples that this tree that was just previously cursed the day before is now completely dried up from the roots. It didn't take weeks for it to be dried up, but immediately it was dried up after the Lord cursed it. And of course, the disciples were like, wow, that's amazing. How could that happen? That happened so quickly. They were amazed at what was done by merely the Lord saying that the tree was cursed. And of course, the Lord's response was very brief, but very profound. If you want to see things like this happen in your life, have faith in God. If you want to see things like this happen in your life, have faith in God. Very simple answer. But obviously, it tells us that a productive Christian life, a real Christian life that really does something, where God is really doing something, is a life that requires faith. Now, don't get caught up in the new age-ness of the hour, where people say, well, just believe. No. It's not just believe. It's not just have faith. Faith in what? What do you mean? Faith in faith? Oh, that's really scary, isn't it? No, he says, have faith in God. So what is this? What is he saying is the key to a life, a Christian life that is productive, that accomplishes things in life. What is he talking about? He says, have faith in God. So first of all, we need to understand there is a specific object of this faith. It's God. There's an object of faith. It isn't your mind. It isn't your feelings. It isn't this nebulous faith. No, there's a specific object of this faith. It's God. Now, what does it mean when it say, have faith in God? Well, the first thing that it means when it says have faith, it speaks about a specific, known, purposeful dependence on God. Not a dependence on yourself. Not a dependence on things. No, a specific, decisive, knowing dependence on God. That's what it means to have faith. To be dependent upon. It's a decision to depend upon God. Not yourself. Not things. Not isms. No. A decision of dependence. You know, that is a calculated, willful act. It's a calculated, willful act. Have faith, a decision to depend upon God. Now notice, though, it's not merely a calculated, decisive decision to have dependence on God, but it's an expected, a dependence of expectation that God, not only is you're depending upon Him, but you are expecting Him. The Bible says, if you believe and do not doubt. So there is a specific object to faith that Jesus is talking about, faith, God. It's a specific has specific realities. It is a specific dependence on God, but it is likewise an expectant dependence on God. And he describes that. Now, we can go to many other verses in the scripture. We aren't going to do that, but we're going to at least quote one verse in this context. One verse, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now we could put another verse in there. Without faith, it's impossible to see God work. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God, there is that dependence. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's expectation. When you think of expectation, we think of that great father of modern missions, William Carey, who went to India, and his motto was, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. You know, they kind of go together. People don't attempt great things for God if they don't expect great things from God. And we see that faith is such a vital part of every part of life. Without faith, people aren't going to even try to do anything. Without faith, people aren't going to seek to accomplish anything for God. Without faith, people aren't, without expectant faith, people don't make big decisions for prayer. Think of that verse in the Bible, open thy mouth wide, the Lord says, and I will fill it. Well, what does it mean when it says open your mouth wide? It means pray big prayers. Pray big prayers. Now, I realize that most people don't start off praying big prayers. You know, you start off praying little prayers. Now, I remember the first prayer I ever prayed as a born-again Christian. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I lost something. And I couldn't find it. And I prayed and asked God to help me find it. Now, that was the beginning of my journey of faith and prayer. And it was exciting when God helped me find it. But you don't pray big prayers unless you've learned to pray little prayers. And as you see God answer little prayers, your ability to expect greater things from God and it grows. But here we find a very a simple description of what is required in the Christian life. Have faith in God. Now, where and how should this truth fit in the life of a Christian? Well, first of all, this truth has to do with everyday life. This truth has to do with everyday life as a Christian. Whatever comes in our lives, there is a proper response to if it is a difficulty, if it is a challenge, if it is a problem, whatever it might be, there is important response that is required in our life. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, what is the opposite? Well, the opposite is worry. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, some people just love to worry. You know, they like it. That way, people can feel sorry for them. They worry, and they worry, and they worry, and woe is me, and now everybody can feel sorry for them because they're just worrying about everything. They're not accomplishing anything but wasting time. But you know what? The sinful nature likes to worry. You know, it makes people feel sorry for us. You know, we have to worry and people can feel sorry for us and pat us on the back. And I don't know, it's some kind of, you know, weird part of the sinful nature. You know, want people to feel sorry for us because we're worrying about all these things. Well, you know, the answer instead of worrying is what? Just deliberately, purposely decide to have faith in God. Trust that issue to God. And I'm not just saying, you know, okay. No, it's expectant faith. Expecting God to take care of it. Now, of course, you know, the other opposite, which is close to worry, is fear. You know, fear is a real issue in life. You know, we sing that in our song. We don't sing it. It's a kind of a chorus. But fear and doubt dreads to take a step. You know, people who are fearful, you know what they do? They don't go forward. They go backwards. They hide in their cocoons. They hide in their shells. They hide in their houses. They don't attempt anything for God because fear has paralyzed their precious soul. And you know, fear is a very real thing. Man, you say fear is not, isn't a real thing. I tell you what, go on top of Empire State Building and start building the next floor. You know, those steel workers, I have great respect for steel workers, you know. Now today they have harnesses and all sorts of safety equipment. But you know, when they built the Empire State Building, they didn't have any safety equipment. They were walking up on those beams, oh, and that building is swaying. Oh, man. You know, doing construction work, you know, just on a 2x4 wall, you know, you're just 10 feet, you know, you're just 8 feet from the floor, you know. And, you know, you know, if you put the 2x4 on the ground, you could walk on it without a problem, you know. But put it up 8 feet. It's like, oh, man, what am I going to do? You know, you take these little tiny steps, you know, and you're wobbling up there, you know, like you're going to fall over. And then pretty soon, after a while, you have to crawl. And it's, you know what? Fear is real. You know, you accomplish very little in your spiritual life if you're fearful. Fearful. You know, fear is the opposite of faith. You know, another opposite of faith is lethargy. Lethargy. You know what lethargy is? No energy. No energy. Notice what it says in Hebrews 11. It says, he that without faith is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God. You know what? Huh, isn't that amazing? Takes energy to come to God. You know, laziness is not only is fear paralyzing, but laziness is paralyzing. You know, there's such a thing as lazy, spiritual laziness. You know, you can be spiritually lazy. You're not doing anything. You're not accomplishing anything. You know, the Bible says, slumber casteth into a deep sleep. You know, you sleep so much, you just feel like sleeping all the time. Well, that's what a lot of Christians do. They're sleeping, and they've just been sleeping and sleeping and sleeping, and that's all they know how to do, sleep. You know why? Because they don't have faith. Faith is the opposite. Faith is energetic. Faith is decisive. Faith does something. Faith goes forward. Faith is energizing. Not faith in yourself, but faith in God. Now, there's some people that have a lot of confidence in themselves, but they will never go very far spiritually because faith has to be in God. And so we find this a vital principle of the Christian life. Every day our life needs to be characterized by specific, willful, purposeful faith in God. And that's one of the biggest struggles of life, isn't it? Faith. And or all the paralyzing aspects of not having faith. Now, everyday life. But what about doing something for God? What about doing something for God? The Lord, the disciples were amazed. Oh, look at that tree! Boy, that died fast. Now, that's nothing for the Lord. He made heaven and earth. That's nothing for him. But, you know, just from a human level, they saw that tree that one day it was nice leaves on it. And next day it was withered up. Like, wow. You know, you probably, if you scraped the bark, there wouldn't have been any green there. But it just really dried up completely. Now, this is quite amazing to the disciples by seeing this real, situation take place. Wow, Lord, look at that. It's dead. I mean, it's dead. And it happened so quickly. How'd that happen? How could that be? And the Lord says, not a problem. Have faith in God. Now, what it's saying is God is a miracle worker. That's what it's saying. Our God is a miracle worker. I mean, that's about as simple as you can get, right? Hey, this miracle took place. How'd this happen? He said, it's not unusual. It can happen in your life. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, this miracle had spiritual roots. This miracle had spiritual roots. You know, the fig tree in the Bible was a picture of Israel. The nation of Israel is pictured as a fig tree. And Israel had come to a place where there's no more fruit in their life. No more fruit. He, as their Messiah, had come. For years, Israel had killed the prophets. For years, the priesthood and the temple worship had been controlled by wicked men. And their religious system was permeated with corruption. And changing the house of God into a place of money changing. And now their Messiah has come and they're plotting how they're going to kill him. And they're going to make sure they don't kill him on the Passover, because that would be bad to kill him on a holy day. But they're going to kill the Messiah. And the cursing of this fig tree, I believe, was a picture of the fact that soon Israel would no longer have a temple. Israel soon would have no biblical form of worship, because the temple would be destroyed by the Romans and has never yet been rebuilt. There are no more blood sacrifices. There is no more altar. There is no more Holy of Holies. There's no place in which the Shekinah glory dwelt. It's we love the Jewish people. They're God's people. But their religion is non-existent. It's only what is left is tradition. And it's pictured, I believe, in the cursing of this fig tree. But for the disciples, it was, wow, this is something. But I'm putting that in its context, it was spiritual. You know, what I'm saying is this. Like the book of James says, that a lot of people pray, they pray amiss. You know, in other words, when they think of God doing miracles, you know what they want is they want a new Cadillac. Well, I guess that's not much anymore. Maybe a Rolls Royce or something like that. That might be a little bit better. But, you know, that's what people think about, miracles today. You know, I want this brand new car and I want it delivered to my front door. And many times very selfish, they want God to do their bidding for their selfish lifestyle. And that's why I say this miracle was spiritual in nature. But God does do miracles. But God does miracles, and those miracles, though, are typically centered around His will for your life. Those miracles are about what He is interested in. What is God interested in? God is interested in souls. God is interested in salvation of souls and people coming to Jesus Christ. God is interested in lives changing. You know, I don't think God is too much interested if you have a Ford truck or a Chevy truck. I don't think he much cares about that. But you know what? I think He is interested if you legitimately need a truck to get the gospel out. I think He's definitely interested in that. But that, the means by which He fulfills that, is secondary to what God's real interest is. And we see a great truth here, that a miracle-working God is one who's experienced in our daily life by learning to trust Him in whatever it is that comes our way. That would normally be responded to in fear or worry or maybe even anger. But yet God is interested in bigger things than that too. In doing great miracles in our lives for the work of God. For the work of God. And in that sense, we have to ask ourselves a question now. What miracles is God doing in our lives? What miracles is God doing in our lives? What have we sought God for? Now, if our life is centered on the physical and the earthly, we probably haven't sought God for anything that's really important to Him. Something big. And in those cases, there's an answer. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. It's no problem for God. It's no problem for God. Now, as we look here, we see a couple important related truths here that I think are important. And he says, verse 24, that most oftentimes the focus of this faith is found in prayer. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Prayer. Now, you know, Pastor John had a great message on prayer the other night. And you think about it, the fact is that because prayer is such in most of our lives, it's kind of an add-on. You know what I mean? Our life is filled with this and that. And then at the end of the day, we put a couple seconds of prayer in there. You know? Or we put a couple seconds of prayer in the beginning of the day, and the rest of our day is all about what we want to do and what we got planned. And but I think that many times, because prayer is like that, it isn't really the idea that, you know, we're gonna accomplish something today. And because we have to accomplish something, we have to spend the right amount of prayer, time in prayer. Now, I have some real questions about Martin Luther and his theology and whether he even was saved or not. But it's interesting. Martin Luther was quoted as saying, "I have so much to accomplish today that I'm going to have to spend 5 hours in prayer. I have so much to accomplish today, I'm going to have to spend 5 hours in prayer." Now, what is he saying by that? It's revealing the fact that he recognized that what needed to be accomplished, God had to do it. Right? And number two, that his greatest ability was to access God in prayer. Now, obviously, the whole statement not only recognizes that he is going to turn in dependence upon God, but obviously, if he says, "I have so many things to accomplish today, I'm going to have to spend this amount of time in prayer," obviously, he is expressing that his prayer time is not only dependent upon God, but it is an expectant prayer. Amen? Expectant faith. You know, it isn't the volume and the hours of prayer. I mean, if he can have 5 hours of prayer that is just moaning and groaning and no faith, it isn't going to accomplish anything. But real faith. And that's what he's saying. Whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray. Now, what do you mean? Whatsoever things ye desire. Well, the Bible says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." You know, a person who is walking with God, they're going to desire the right kind of things. And it's not talking about the carnal person who wants to fulfill their own lusts in their life. And of course, we're reminded of John chapter 15. It says, "If you abide in me," verse 7, "and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, as we have already mentioned, it tells us that this faith here, one of the key aspects of faith is relationship with God. And so what does he say in Mark? What is the key to praying? Right praying? What is the key of faith? It says it's a relationship. Verse 25. It says, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, in which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Now, it's giving us the reality that this faith and this miracle-working God, working miracles in our life and our proper prayer life and seeing God do and answer those prayers, is all about our relationship, our personal relationship with God. It isn't just merely praying a prayer. It's saying, you better have forgiven everybody that has sinned against you. You better have forgiven everyone who sinned against you. Because if you won't forgive those that sin against you, I'm not going to answer your prayer. So much for bitterness. So much for holding grudges. So much for remembering, what happened 15 years ago by so-and-so and such an hour and such a place and with such and such a expression in their eyes. I remember it all. Who? Doesn't sound like any forgiveness there, does it? You know, forgiveness forgets. But if you can remember, yep, you did that on such a day, and I remember what you said. And it was only 15 years ago, but I remember it. Really. Doesn't sound to me like a lot of miracles are happening in your life. Not many miracles going to happen there. Because faith is rooted in our relationship with God. Now you think about it. The Bible says that of course it says in other places in verse 23 it says and shall not doubt in his heart. Shall not doubt in his heart. Now, you know, there's two things about that. One is Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And sometimes Satan is able to be the accuser of the brethren because he knows that there's some sins in our life that are not confessed. The Bible says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. But the fearful, the wicked, dare not take a step. Why? Because their conscience isn't right. You know, if you love the world, you're going to have a hard time having faith. You love the world. You love the things of the world. You know, you just spent your Saturday night watching Hollywood movies or whatever. Boy, you're going to have a hard time waking up on Sunday morning with much faith. You know what? How's that going to ever happen? Just polluted your mind with the world. You're not going to wake up the next day with much faith. Faith is real. You know, I've said this 20,000 times probably, but that's why the mega churches have to have their rock music. Because faith becomes an emotional feeling. It's not reality. It's not a real relationship with a living, holy God. Faith isn't a feeling. Faith is real. And faith has real results. Faith in God. And so the Lord is emphasizing this is a relationship. You know, you don't buy faith at the hardware store. You don't buy faith by getting all pumped up by some CCM music. No, you get faith. You have real faith that produces real results by walking with God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How much time have you spent in God's Word? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. It's a relationship. Faith is real. Faith is a confidence that we have when His words abide in us and we are obeying God. But faith also is related to what our purpose is in life. What is your purpose in life? You know, some things you don't need too much faith for. But there's some things that you could never, you and I could never do. You know, obviously there's people who are brilliant investors. And whatever they touch turns to gold. They didn't need faith for that. They didn't need to have faith to know when to invest in the stock market and when to get out and when to buy this and when to buy that. They don't really, I mean, people do that all the time. But to see a miraculous God work, that takes faith. And there's some things only God can do. You know, when we talk about God changing our lives, think God hears those kind of prayers? God, God, give me a pure heart. Think God wants to hear that kind of prayer? You know, those are things no man can do. Only God can do that. God, that next person I talk to, I want to be able to talk to him about Jesus. Would you prepare their heart? You know, those are the kind of prayers that you can have miracles on an everyday basis. Amen. Everyday basis. And that faith is rooted in a person who has a relationship with God. Now, that relationship with God starts with our sin. Starts with our sin. And we are sinners. We have a sinful heart. There's a penalty for sin. There's a penalty for sin. You say, how do you know there's a penalty for sin? You know what? People, even who don't have a Bible, know there's a penalty for sin. You know why? Because everybody has a conscience. And when someone does wrong, whatever their system of right and wrong is, when someone does wrong, their conscience is like the police siren. You know, immediately you look at your speedometer, right? You know, you wonder, was I speeding? You know, boy, I buy alertness right away. You know, your conscience is like being put in prison. You know, you violate your conscience, and I tell you what, you're in prison. You're in torment. You can't get out of there. You can't escape it. It's real. There's a penalty for sin, isn't there? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't even believe, you don't even have to believe in God. You can be born, raised in atheism, and you know there's a penalty for sin because everybody has a conscience. And the Bible tells us the wage of sin is death. Man needs to take care of his sin. And he can't take care of his sin except through the only provision that God has made for our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, who left heaven, as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, died in our place. And it is He and He only that can give us the cleansing of our sin. It's only He that can take away the guilt of sin and replace it with peace. It's only Jesus and His salvation can take a sinner and give them a new heart. That is the beginning of a relationship with a real God. And you know, it starts with faith. Because a person has to decide to depend upon Jesus. And they have to decide in expectant faith. You know that person who says, you say, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? You say, he says, I do it every day. You know what's the problem with that? They didn't have expectant faith, did they? They didn't have expectant faith. That faith won't save. Unless you really believe and expect Christ to save you, when you call upon him and turn from your sin, you aren't going to be saved. It has to be expectant faith. Otherwise, it's not faith. But you know, that faith is the basis of the whole Christian life. Now, if you're saved, you can point to the day that by faith, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and it really happened. Wow! Miracle! Really happened. Well, you know, that was a big step to trust Christ, wasn't it? It was a jump to put all your sins on him, believing that he would take them all away. But now the Christian life is just the same. It's a life of faith. Going forward by faith. You know what, Lord? I'm just going to decide that I'm not doing that anymore. Because you know what? I don't think you want me to. That's faith, isn't it? Lord, you know what? Now I'm going to go forward. I'm saved now. And you know what? I'm just going to serve you with my whole life. Really? Exactly. That's going forward, right? By faith, you decide, make decisions. The disciples, they were marveled that God was able to turn that, Jesus was able to turn that tree into a stump real fast, you know? A dead standing tree. And he said, you know, same thing can happen in your life. But you have to have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, it's kind of a short statement. But if you would walk your day thinking about that, maybe I'd just like to challenge you. That's our memory verse. See how your life is changed by that great truth. Have faith in God. Whatever it is that's in your life, decide to do something about it. Have faith in God. You say, you know what? I'm far, far away from God doing something in my life. Hey, you know what the answer is? Have faith in God. He can change your life in a moment. Amen. He can do for you what nobody else can do. Have faith in God. You know what you ought to be doing? Do it. Have faith in God. That's what it takes. Faith in God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God today. Thank you for this precious, precious truth that we need. Lord, many of us wrestle every day with so many issues in life that this is the answer. And Lord, I pray in your mercy and grace and providence, Lord, that to the people of God, that we would take this to heart And we would recognize that this is a valuable truth for us. Now, Lord, for those who are here, who have not been saved, Lord, it's hard for them to comprehend a miracle-working God working in their life. But it is so wonderful, Lord. And the greatest miracle, Lord, we know is the forgiveness of sins and a new birth. That only Jesus, because of what Jesus did, it can be accomplished. And I pray there would be a turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith with their sin, with their soul, with their life, even today. And Lord, bless the people of God and those today who are faced with unbelievable circumstances or just regular circumstances. I pray that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would apply this truth to their soul, to their life, to their situation, and that they in turn would respond by having faith in you, Lord. Specific, willful, expectant faith, through which, Lord, you will accomplish great things for your glory. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today and you say, God is speaking to my heart. I can think of a specific situation in my life. The Lord has shown me that the answer today was in this text. And I am deciding today to respond by having faith in God. And God has spoken to your heart today. And even today, just sharing that truth with me or declaring it or deciding before the Lord, okay, Lord, that's it. I'm making that decision by faith. And just by simply raising your hand, you say, Pastor, pray with me as God has worked in my heart today in a very specific way. Okay, amen. Number of different hands. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? The Lord has spoken to your heart to respond and apply that truth in a very specific area of your life. Have faith in God. Lord, thank you now that, Lord, nothing is impossible with you. And thank you that, Lord, that you are a miracle-working God. And we are amazed. We are overwhelmed by the fact that, Lord, we can have a relationship with you, the living God. And that in your mercy and grace that you would even work in our lives and through our lives. And Lord, I pray that you will show yourself great in the lives of those even here today who have come to a place of decision. A place of trust in you for something that you know about and you have dealt with them about. And Lord, I pray that that you would solidify their decision of dependent, expectant faith in the living God. And that, Lord, you would show yourself great and glorious as the miracle-working God who created heaven and earth and there with whom nothing is too hard. And Lord, for those who know thee not yet, Lord, I pray that even today's message would stir in their soul to bring them to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.